Well, I want to start off with a question tonight. This is going to be a rhetorical question. And so I just want you to think about your answer. It might maybe even helpful for you to just jot it down if you're taking notes, write it to the side, whatever works for you. But here's the question. When you think of the word confidence, what comes to mind? When you think about confidence, what's the first thing you think of? And I'm going to give you a second to think about that. Maybe for you, you think about words that might associate with confidence. Words like bold, fierce, a feeling of certainty, no fear. Or maybe for you, it's describing a person, someone who is outgoing, has it all together, someone who isn't insecure, right? Someone who walks tall and carries themselves in a certain way. Or maybe you actually had someone specific come to mind. When you think about the word confidence, you immediately thought about your dad, a friend, coworker, maybe someone in this room, or maybe someone you don't know personally, right? An important figure, someone famous. Maybe you thought about you, right? You would say, man, I'm a pretty confident person. Or maybe when you think of the word confidence, you actually don't think about you. Instead, you think, man, I actually wish I had more confidence. I lack in confidence. I'm not a very confident person. And how you answer that question is going to show in one way or another how you define confidence. It's going to show your definition of confidence, how you view confidence, what your confidence is in. Tonight, we are going to be addressing and talking about confidence. What does God's word say about confidence? And specifically, our direction for tonight is to answer two questions. What is the source of our confidence, and how do we get more confidence? Those are the two questions. What is the source of our confidence, and how do we get more confidence? So before we dive into these two questions, it's helpful to know what confidence is. What's the definition of confidence? What does it mean to have confidence? Well, going back to our verse, Proverbs 14:26, it says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Now, this verse is interesting, right? Because when we think of confidence, we usually don't associate that word with fear, right? Confidence is usually the opposite of fear, right? You wouldn't say, wow, she's super fearful. Wish I had her confidence, right? You wouldn't say, man, he's full of fear. Hope I can aspire one day to have that kind of courage. That wouldn't make sense, right? But Scripture is telling us that in order to have confidence, we must fear. It's literally saying in order to fight fear, we need fear. But we have to understand what that word fear means. What that word fear is conveying in this specific context. In this specific scripture, that word fear isn't talking about this like cowering, scared, terror kind of fear towards God. A great example of this is when you think about a dog, right? And that dog is getting into trouble or is getting in trouble. What do dogs do? They cower, right? This fear is not that. It's not like a dog who cowers at his owner because he's done something wrong. It's not that kind of fear. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. 1 John is talking about a cowering kind of fear. Instead, that word fear in Proverbs relates to us having an awe, a reverence, a tremble of who God is as our almighty and all-powerful Father. There's a difference there, right? It's a different kind of fear for those in Christ. And so the scripture is saying for those who have an awe and reverence of who God is, also has this strong confidence in him. So going back to our original question, what is confidence? Well, this verse translates confidence in the Hebrew to mean refuge, assurance, hope, trust. To have confidence is to have refuge, assurance, hope, and trust. The question is, where are you finding your assurance? Where are you placing your hope? Where is the source of your trust and confidence coming from? Because listen, the world will tell you something completely different than the word. The world will tell you confidence is derived from you. Your source of confidence comes from self. In fact, according to Oxford Dictionary, confidence is defined as a feeling of self-assurance arising from one's appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. Cambridge Dictionary defines confidence as a feeling of having little doubt about yourself and your abilities, meaning you think highly of yourself and those abilities. Webster Dictionary defines confidence as a feeling or consciousness of one's power or of reliance on one's circumstances. The world will tell you confidence is derived from you. Your source of confidence comes from self. That's why if you were just to Google the word confidence, links to self-help books, videos on how to become more confident, conferences that you can go to for you to listen to people inspire you on being the more confident version of you, and 54 killer ways to increase your self-confidence for only $9.99. We see this play itself out constantly. And the world says confidence is promoted from self. You want to be more confident? It starts with you. And we live in a society today that will tell you your worth, value, and security is in self. Your looks, success, how much money you have, your relationships, all your confidence is derived from those things. That is what is being communicated in our society today. And statistics prove this. According to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, in their report from 2019, $12.6 billion was spent on cosmetic surgical procedures alone. According to the NIH, National Institutes of Health, as of June 20th, 2023, just not like a couple months ago, which was an article recently published, it says that approximately 3 to 4 million Americans use anabolic, anergenic steroids to increase muscle mass, whether for sports, to increase their performance, or cosmetic purposes such as enhancing their appearance. The specific ages mentioned were 20s to 30s, young adults, and an overall increase in concern among high school students. The world today will tell you confidence is in self. How you look, how you feel, how you think. It's all about you. So we as a society, in order to keep up, to gain confidence, resort to lip injections, implants, steroids, performing enhancing drugs, keeping up with the latest fashion trends, and anything and everything used to build our self-confidence. And the thing is, all of us in the room struggle with some form or some kind of insecurity. I would be more confident if, fill in the blank. And I would bet that most of us in the room just now were able to quickly think of something. I would be more confident if I had hair. No slight to my husband. He, show it, show it. He looks good. He looks good. I would be more confident if my nose wasn't so big. I would be more confident if I had the gifting that so-and-so had. I would be more confident if. Those insecurities, whether it's in how we look, talk, what we have, what we don't have, health, etc., will affect how we respond to people, our attitude, our choices we make, and they will also show you what you are placing your source of confidence in. Everlast, your confidence is either derived from self or from Christ. You're either going to find your confidence from the world or from the Word. Because confidence is always derived from something or someone. You are always getting your confidence from some source. And that source is either going to be in self, the things of this world, or in Christ. So, Everlast, let me ask you this question. What are you finding your confidence in? Where is the source of your confidence coming from? One of my favorite stories in the Bible is David and Goliath. I love this story for many reasons. It's a powerful story. It's a courageous story. It's a victorious story. And it's also a story that most people know. Whether they are believers in Christ or not, it's a popular story in general. In fact, one of my favorite TV shows is Survivor. Love it. And just to give you an idea, this past season, it had over 6.7 million views on average per episode of people watching. And season 37, the theme of the whole season was David versus Goliath. Y'all, this is a mainstream TV show, millions of people watching, with a theme of David versus Goliath. It's a popular story. People know about it. However, it is one that is often misunderstood. If you have your Bible, turn with me. Flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We aren't going to read the whole thing, but just let me give you a brief summary, and then we're going to read a few specific verses from 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you know the story, right, you have this massive Philistine giant by the name of Goliath. It tells us he's about 9 feet tall, and he's also super strong, because verse 5 says that some of his armor weighed over 125 pounds. So Goliath, taunting the men of Israel, comes out and says, "Find someone who will fight me. If he wins, we'll be your servant. If I win, you serve us." Now enter in David. David is a Hebrew young shepherd boy. He shows up to the scene. Why? Because David's dad asks him to bring cheese to his brothers. David shows up to his duty of delivering cheese. And as he does this, he hears Goliath. And then he asks, "What shall be done for the man who kills this giant?" Saul finds out that David asked this question and sends for him. Go to verse 32 with me and read along. Verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he's been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God." Verse 37, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Hashtag confidence, right? Bro is full of it. But he is full of confidence in Christ. You want to know why I love this story? It's because a lot of people who read this story think this is a story of David mustering up enough courage to fight Goliath himself. But that's wrong. This is a story of a boy whose confidence wasn't in himself, but whose source of confidence was in the Lord, which led him to be victorious. You see, Goliath represents confidence in self, right? He says, "Find someone who's willing to take me on. I'm so confident I'll win that I'm willing to not only put my life on the line, but my team, I'll put my team on the line as well. I die, they become your servants." David represents confidence in the living God. David's confidence wasn't derived in himself. His confidence is placed and founded in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. David's words are completely different. "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." What fueled David's courage was his confidence in God's promises and God's power to fulfill them. He knew where his source came from, right? He trusted and had full confidence that the Lord would rescue him. And David had victory over Goliath, right? He got out a slingshot and knocked Goliath to the ground, dead. The source of David's confidence was in Christ, not in self. Everlast, Where's your confidence? What is your source in? Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Philippians tells us right there, put no confidence in the flesh. Your flesh will fail you. Instead, our confidence is in Christ. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. 2 Corinthians 3:4-5, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. You see, confidence is never independent. Confidence is always produced by faith, whether our faith is in God or in something else. The question then is, well, how do I know if I'm finding my confidence in Christ or in something else? How do I know? Well, what's the definition of confidence? You remember? It's assurance, refuge, hope, and trust. Am I finding my peace, comfort, assurance, refuge, trust, and hope in those things? And let me just give you a few examples. Let's talk about money. Are you finding your assurance in having enough money in your bank account? Enough in your savings? Did you constantly check it to make sure that you don't go under this certain amount? Do you find security in how much you have? Let's talk about people. Do you have the need to be popular? Right? You feel reassured in yourself if a lot of people like you and want to hang out with you. And your confidence weighs on if people tell you how awesome you are that day. And if I continually get affirmed by others, then I feel okay about myself. What about your looks? Are you constantly weighing yourself on a scale? Checking the mirror daily? Keeping up with the latest trends to make sure your wardrobe is fresh and new? And if you miss a day of working out, you're constantly thinking about it because you're worried you may have some muscle loss? What about your abilities? Do you feel like you have to continue to be the best, thrive in all the things, outdo your coworkers or classmates next to you? Do you find your confidence in being the most successful and being the best? What about your relationships, material things, what you have, right? If I finally have a boyfriend or girlfriend who makes me feel good and I'm no longer single, or I have all the things I want and can buy, then I'm at peace. Then I have confidence. And listen, those things can, for a time, make you confident. Temporarily, you can be confident in those things. It's called self-confidence. But what happens when those things are taken away from you? Well, what happens if your relationship doesn't work out and you've put your stock and identity and confidence in that guy or girl? What happens if you get sick? Your health fails you. You no longer look the way that you did or can do the things you once did, and your confidence was founded in that. What happens if you lose your job? Money starts to fade from your savings account and you can't afford the things that you once had. What happens if someone doesn't like you? You don't get affirmed that day. If your confidence is rooted and founded in anything other than Jesus, Everlast, you're going to enter into a world full of insecurities. You won't just be thoroughly disappointed. You're going to be rocked to your core. Matthew 7:24-27 says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Everlast, what is your foundation built on? What is your confidence in? Is your confidence founded in Jesus, or is your confidence founded on something else? Because when life hits and that storm comes and things don't go according to plan, what was your confidence in? I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I've had some health issues over the last couple years. But I really honestly haven't gone into too much detail from the stage. And so just to give you a little bit of an insight, I have something called POTS, P-O-T-S. It's a postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And to keep it simple, when I go from sitting to standing, my heart rate shoots up. So for most people, when they go from sitting to standing, their heart rate's going to go up anywhere from like 10 to 15 beats per minute. Mine goes up from anywhere from 40 to 60 beats per minute. So when I was first diagnosed and had no treatment plan, y'all, it made everyday life really difficult. I experienced symptoms that were really debilitating. Little tasks like walking from here to that door right there, I would get insanely lightheaded, out of breath, painful ear ringing, massive headaches, massive head pressure. I couldn't eat because I was nauseous all the time. Just a lot of symptoms that even ones I didn't even mention. Which is also why I sit on the stool when I teach. Because sometimes I just can't stand for super long periods of times because it will cause my symptoms to flare up. Now, the reason I share all of this is because I quickly found out when my health was affected what things I had placed my confidence in other than Christ. My source of confidence was in things I didn't even know was there. Things like my independence. I was, and still at times, the Lord shows me mercy, am the type of person who's like, I got this, I'm strong, I don't need other people's help, I'm good. And then the Lord quickly humbled me because I had to rely on people for a lot of things, small things that I could no longer do myself. And y'all, my pride was absolutely shot. Praise God. I had to take a break from teaching, and the Lord showed me I'd place some of my confidence in my abilities and gift sets, because when that was taken away from me, I struggled with who am I? What is my worth and value? Because I had placed some of my confidence in that. And Scripture says in Job 1:21, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Everlast, the Lord will give and he will take away. And when the Lord allows things to be taken or hardships to come your way, you're going to quickly find out what or who your confidence has been in. And Everlast, I don't say this to scare you or to put fear there. I say this to exhort you that your confidence would be in Christ. That when things come your way, you aren't shaken. Your faith is steadfast. It is rooted and founded on that rock, and your confidence is in the Lord. And listen, y'all, praise God. He really has brought so much physical healing and even just mental healing to my body and mind from where I was 2 years ago. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, I've come a long way, and I've had a big lifestyle change, right? It hasn't been easy, but I've learned that if my source of confidence is in anything other than Jesus, it will fail me. God is faithful. And when we put our confidence in him, our faith will not be shaken. That's why I love Proverbs 14:26. Because it doesn't just say, in the fear of the Lord, one has confidence. It says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. And his children will have a refuge. Meaning your confidence is powerful, mighty. One that can withstand any storms that come your way. Everlast, what are you finding your confidence? Where's the source of your confidence coming from? And I do want to just address this really quick. And just to be clear, going back to the question earlier, like maybe what we're finding our confidence in, and we listed a few things, right? Going to the gym, having friends, having a savings account, dressing nice, being affirmed, having success with abilities that God has given you. Listen, in essence, it's not a bad thing. It's when we make those things a God thing. It becomes bad when we idolize or worship at the feet of those things instead of at the feet of Jesus. We're talking about a heart issue here, right? We're talking about when things are stealing our confidence and affection from Christ instead of our confidence and affection being in Christ. And I just need that to be understood. None of those things are essentially bad things, but it ultimately comes down to the heart. And asking the question, am I finding my worth? Am I finding my identity, my value, assurance, my hope, my refuge, my trust? Is the source of my confidence coming from those things? Am I getting my self-confidence from fill in the blank? And so I want to just, I want to end with this. If I know my confidence is either coming from self or it's coming from Jesus, right? It's coming from the world or the word of God. How do I go from self-confidence to strong confidence? How do I go from self-confidence to godly confidence? How do we get confidence in the Lord? Well, one, we have to know and rely on his promises. If you want to be confident in Christ, we have to know his promises. If you don't know the word of God, then you're not going to be confident in what it says and confident in what you believe. I've shared this story before, but right out of college, I started substitute teaching. My parents said, you have to get a job ASAP. So I got a job right out of college and preparing for the real world. I did substitute teaching. I have such a big appreciation for teachers, all the teachers in the room, especially after that. So I thought subbing was going to be easy, right? You just stick in a movie. it'll be great. But no, I had to actually teach. And this class was math. Y'all, I'm horrible at math. And I get up in front of the class with this book, and I'm supposed to show them, here's how you solve this problem. And y'all, I had no clue what I was doing. You want to talk about a lack of confidence? That was a moment for me, right? I wasn't confident at all because I didn't know the material. Everlast, we have to know the material. You have to know what the word says to be confident in the word. You have to know the instructions to be confident in them, to live them out, and for that matter, to be even able to teach them. We have to know his promises. And there are four promises I want to hit on that we should know. One is that God is who he says he is. God is who he says he is. He is trustworthy. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. By the way, do you know what that means? It means if you're putting your confidence in other things that won't last, right? People are fickle, nothing in this world is certain, and life is constantly changing, but God is the same, which means he's trustworthy. I can know and have full confidence that he is never changing. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Our confidence is in knowing that, regardless of what life brings, God is for us. When people fail us, God will never fail us. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Right? I can have confidence in knowing he's not only for me, but he's near. He's with me wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. 1 John 4:16, I love this promise. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God loves us. And as we abide in that love, he abides in us. God is who he says he is. He remains true to his word. And not only is he who he says he is, the second promise we need to know is what he has done for us. The only reason you and I can have confidence in God is because of God. Confidence wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, you and I would have no hope, nothing to rely on, no security. You would be walking aimlessly in this world with no direction, completely lost, constantly battling fear because there would be no certainty for you. That's the truth. Jesus made a way for us. God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And for our sake, he made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is the gospel. That is the good news for all of us, sinners in need of a savior. That's the good news, that Jesus made a way for us. Y'all, he lived a perfect life, no sin. Tempted, but without sin. Perfect and blameless. And yet, while we were still sinners, he died for us. He took on the wrath of God that we deserved. All your past, present, and future sins, he bore our sins on the cross. So that whoever believes in him will have righteousness, to be pure and right in God's eyes because of Jesus. And in knowing what Jesus has done for us, we are to be full of confidence that for those who place their faith in him, y'all, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be accepted by God based on the righteousness of Christ. We should have full confidence in salvation, knowing God is who he says he is and knowing what he has done for us. And thirdly, who he says we are. How do we have confidence in Christ? We know his promises towards us with who he says that we are. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For those in Christ, you are chosen. You're of royalty, holy, blameless. We're his possession, meaning he treasures us. He calls us his own. And because of that, we have confidence in knowing we have full access to him. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Verse 22 then says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Everlast, we can have full confidence in knowing God is who he says he is, knowing what he has done for us, knowing what he says about us. And lastly, when it comes to knowing God and relying on his promises, we can have confidence because we know where we are going. God has won the victory. John 14:1-3, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and tell you to myself that where I am, you may be also. Y'all, reading all of these verses, reminding ourselves of the promises and truths of God's word should right now give you confidence. That should encourage you. That should cause you to leave here ready to take on just whatever life has for you as you walk out of these doors. You want to know how to have confidence in God? It's knowing and relying on his promises, his word. Our confidence is fully engaged and founded on knowing these truths. I love Romans 4:20-21. It's talking about Abraham, and it says, he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Are you fully convinced of his promises? Are you confident in those? And in order to be confident, you have to know what they are. How do we get confidence in the Lord? We know and rely on his promises. Second thing, and I'll end here. How do we gain confidence in the Lord? Through community. Y'all, confidence is contagious. When you have a group of believers, Christ-centered individuals, coming alongside one another, working and serving together for God to advance his kingdom, confidence is contagious. Community is huge. Some of y'all already know this, but a group of us, we just got back from Colombia. And you want to talk about confidence? We had 15 of us walking the streets, spread out, praying for people, sharing the good news of Christ. We were all over the streets, and it was awesome to finish praying with someone and then to walk past someone from our group praying for someone else or sharing who Jesus is. Right? It gave me all the more confidence to say, this is awesome. Who can I share with next? Community is powerful. Confidence is contagious. You want to gain more confidence in the Lord? Have a group of people around you who are constantly encouraging you in the Lord. Friends who are for your walk in the Lord, willing to call out sin in your life, right? Because they are for you and want your growth in Jesus. God will use that in mighty ways. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Philippians 1:14, Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and he says, "And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, and much more bold to speak the word without fear." That's crazy. Paul's imprisonment for being confident in Christ gave other Christians and believers more confidence in Christ. Community is powerful. Confidence is contagious. How do we get confidence in the Lord? Through his promises and his people. And y'all, that's not like an exhaustive list either, right? We get confidence through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, through meditating and memorizing scripture. There are other practical and biblical ways that the word shows us on how to find our source of our confidence in Christ. But those are just two. So it's a good place. Start there. Everlast, what are you placing your confidence in? What have you been placing your confidence in? Because if it's in the things of this world that are unstable, you will be unsteady. It's temporal. It will not last. And it will leave you with so many insecurities. Instead, would we be a ministry that places our confidence in Christ? That our source isn't in self or looks or money or possessions or abilities or relationships, but that our source of our confidence is solely in Christ alone. Proverbs 14:26, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." Amen? Let's pray.